Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 280, Jesus Sees You. Guest Minister Colleen Doyle delivered this message on Sunday evening, September 25th, 2022, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, your name is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Jesus that we saw walking through the early days of the New Testament is the same Jesus that walks in this room tonight. That same healing touch, that same compassion, that same ability to see right into the heart of men and women and touch them physically and touch them emotionally, release them, give them new life, is the same that is here tonight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's see what God is going to do. In Jesus' name, you work. So I've got some words of knowledge that I feel like God gave me. Good to see you again. Good to see all of you again. Just want to thank you for your generosity in giving into my ministry. Go Ministries International, and it is. I've been many nations, and there's many more coming up. Sometimes it's a few, and sometimes it's thousands of people. And I just feel that I am the most privileged person because I have nothing special except Jesus. And that's enough. He's enough. He's my everything and my all and my enough. And so he takes me interesting places. I've been in villages where they've not seen a white person. I was the first. That was fun. They ran away. Kids were terrified. I've been in huge cities, I've slept in mud huts, and I've slept in five-star hotels and houses, and on the floor, and fought off cockroaches, and had the imam calling in the building right next door at all hours during the day and early in the morning. My life is rich, and I'm so thankful. It's girls' night again. Pastor Harley, you're outnumbered. So, and as I share these words with you, they may be you, some of them may be you, but there's a large audience online, far more people than are here. And so if it's not somebody here, it's okay, we'll still pray because I know that God has showed me these things. So there's somebody. And you have actually used this word about your life, and it feels like you've been caught up in a tsunami. Is that someone here? Nobody here? It's you, my dear. Have you said that? Have you said, I feel like I've been caught up in a tsunami? This great big wave has overcome me, washed me away, turned me around like I'm in a washing machine, and I really don't know which way's up. Is that you? Heavy? Have you used the word tsunami? Yeah, I will pray for you, and I really want to, but I believe it. Somebody has used that word. You know what tsunami is, don't you? Tidal wave. Very genuine, very real, and we'll pray for you, and God will touch you. But I just want to press in on this word tsunami for a moment. Is nobody here? All right, so I'm just going to address the online audience. And Father, in the name of Jesus, that person or those people, and you guys that are in the room, you can pray for this person as well. That person or those people that feel like their life has been caught up in a tsunami. And we saw one of those happen in 1994 that swept through different parts of Asia. And I was there just after that happened, and the devastation that happened was cataclysmic. It was amazing. And so, Lord, for that person or those people that feel like that has happened to their lives, I speak the name of Jesus. I declare, Jesus, bring freedom. I declare, Jesus, release them and relieve them from every effect of that turmoil that they've been caught up in. And where it's relational, Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would come and you'd be the Prince of Peace in that situation, and that those people that this applies to would know to reach into you and reach out to you and come to know the Prince of Peace, who will be peace and bring them peace and resolution. So Jesus, I speak your name into those situations and declare you will heal and make whole. Amen. Amen. So someone else is in your family, there's been a history of heart disease. You may or may not have a heart problem, but you can look through your family and see a number of people that have had heart issues. Is that one of you folks here tonight, one of you ladies? One, two, three, four, five, six. You'd all better stand up. Your sister and brothers from the same mums and dads? That's you as well. All right, well, you respond if you feel you want to. Look at all of us. All right, so raise your hands to Jesus, and there'll be people online too, and you raise your hands as well. You can touch your TV set or your phone or your computer, you know, as just as a point of contact, as an act of faith, and declare, I'm going to receive from God tonight. So any of you here that actually have got your hands up, wave if you actually have a heart problem now. One, two of you, three of you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, this history, this curse of heart disease in these families, I speak the name of Jesus, and I break the power of that curse over these lives, and I declare the spirit of fear will not attach itself to that curse, and these people whose hands are up in this room and online will not be affected by heart disease. You will not die of heart disease, of heart attack, of problems with your valves. You will not die because Jesus Christ breaks the power of that tonight in his name. You are loosed from that effect of that. You are loosed from the fear of that. And I declare over you, you will live and you will not die, and you will declare the works of the Lord. Now, those ladies here that have a heart problem, would you please come forward? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Those ones of you. Okay, just line up along here. That's you, my dear, and you, and you. Okay, stand up here. Do-do-do-do-do. All right. Father, in Jesus' name, I command your healing power to this heart. Now, you don't pray, my darling. You receive. It's your time to take the healing power of Jesus. So, heart, you beat strongly. You beat correctly. You beat exactly as God created you to work. I speak to every disease, every imperfection, in every mechanical fault within this heart, and proclaim the healing power of Jesus' name, right into your heart. Heart, be healed and made whole in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Heart, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. Every stress on this heart, every way it's not working, every chamber, I speak to you in Jesus' name. And command that you operate and you beat and you pump as you were designed to by the Creator. In Jesus' name, heart, be healed and made whole now in the name of Jesus. Heart, in the name of Jesus. Just be receiving. You don't need to pray, because when you pray, you're giving to God. So as I pray for you tonight, any of you that are here, just open up your life and unzip and receive everything you can from God without giving to him at that moment. Father, in Jesus' name, I command your healing anointing into this woman's heart. I speak to the valves. I speak to the muscle. I speak to the pumping mechanism that pumps that blood around her body and keeps her healthy. So, Lord, and I also speak to the beat, and I command the beat to be strong and rhythmical and just slow down to the right timing in Jesus' name. Heart, be made whole now in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And for you, and for you, and for you. Spirit of death that would try and take you out by stopping your heart, I break your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And for you, the spirit of death that would try to take you out by stopping your heart, break your power now in the name of Jesus. You will not do that. And for you, the same. Spirit of death, you will not take her out by stopping her heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So has somebody got sleep apnea? You know what that is? You know what it is if you've got it. Your sister does. Okay, we'll pray for her. Have you got sleep apnea? All right, let's hit that on the head as well. And so, Father, the sleep apnea, I command you to leave her, to get off her. And I declare over your life from tonight onwards, you will sleep peacefully. You will not stop breathing in your sleep. And you will have rest. And you'll wake up in the morning totally refreshed. And not your body not distressed from that sleep apnea that you've had. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Your sister's name?
Chris.
Lord, we pray for Chris. You stand in proxy for her. God, we pray for Chris. And Lord, pray that she would have perfect sleep. Your word says you give your beloved sleep. So Lord, from tonight, Lord, we declare over Chris's life in Jesus' name that she won't stop breathing in her sleep, that she won't have perspiration from her body working hard to take over when her breath stops. In the name of Jesus, peace, rhythmical breathing, deep sleep, surrounded and covered with the blood, the presence, and the name of Jesus. Chris, be healed of that now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, really? Oh, praise God. That's very good. So, do you know, are you suffering from colitis? Anyone here suffering colitis? Inflammation of the bowel. It's very uncomfortable. Anyone here got that problem? Any of your family members got that problem? Jesus, so Lord Jesus, the people that are watching that have that condition, speak your name, Jesus. Command colitis to be healed in Jesus' name. For the inflammation and the pain and the discomfort to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning my computer wouldn't work for me. And guess what? Tonight it won't either. Hallelujah. I think God's on the move and the devil doesn't like it. Praise God. I'm glad I've got the word of God in my heart. Hallelujah. So that's what you do when the enemy tries to disrupt you. Just. So in your Bibles. The enemy. Oh, he's not going to have his way in here tonight. No, in Jesus' name. No, 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 no. The word of God is going to be preached with power and you're going to receive. Amen. And all of you that need healing are going to receive your healing tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pages that are falling out will get poked back in. Here we go. Hallelujah. We are in Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for a sharpness in the Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come on this word and it will be powerful because you are powerful. Let it sink into us. Let it feed us. Let it minister to us. Let it heal us tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. No one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, "Dear Peter, don't you love him? Master, it's okay. The people are all crowding and pressing around you." He just wanted to make it okay for Jesus. Isn't that cool? But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came tumbling and fell at, trembling, and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." That's a story that we know quite well, don't we? But let's pick it apart a little bit tonight. And let's look at this. The crowd were all there. They'd heard that Jesus was coming. Why? Because they knew that he could touch them and he could make their lives different. I pray for the day that where we are, people will want to come and be with us. Because they know that the Jesus that we know and believe in can touch them through us. This is not a story just for Jesus. It's not a story just for people like me that have the privilege of praying for sick people. This is a story for you and all of us to take hold of and say, "I can minister a healing touch to anyone that I come in touch with, come across." Amen. Amen. They don't have to climb up behind you and touch your clothes. And some religious circles might make that happen, but we don't. We ask people, "Are you unwell? Can I pray for you?" And we do it. Amen. And God touches them. But I find this very interesting. Jesus was on his way to do something pretty important. Jairus was a leader in the synagogue. He was somebody that said, "I want Jesus to come to my house. I need him to come because my daughter is dying." And this woman, who was a nobody, got his attention over a somebody. Doesn't that tell you how much Jesus cares about every single human being? Religion would say, "Don't get deviated. And don't go down the side roads. And don't go into the highways and byways. You've got a mission. You've got a plan. Go and do it. Don't worry about those ragged people or those drug addicts on the side." But the compassion of Jesus will actually pick up the one here and the one there and the ones that society has discarded, like her. And we don't read about drug addicts in the New Testament. They may have been there, they may not have, I don't know. But she would have the same social status as a druggie or an alcoholic today. And what did Jesus do? He stopped what he was doing. And she was healed. Isn't that cool? I so love that. And so, here we go. She had been bleeding for 12 years. That was a real social scourge in those days. Women in their menstrual cycle were not supposed to go out of their houses. They were not allowed to touch anybody, particularly a man. They were not allowed to have social interaction. And here she is, desperate, 12 years. And nobody could heal her. Nobody could help her. Other versions say she went to doctors and she spent all her money. So she just wasn't sick and weak. She was also broke. She was desperate. But she had heard this person called Jesus was around and he could help her. Just imagine the effort she had to go to drag herself out of her house, fend off the sighs and the sniggers and the looks of the neighbors, get down the street in her village and go find that massive crowd that always surrounded Jesus when he walked around. Probably crawl through the crowd till she finally located him and reach out and touch his garment. Desperation can be the seedbed of great faith. I see countries in Africa and some Asian developing countries that I go to. I go to Cambodia, I go to Vietnam, I go to Indonesia and different African countries from time to time. They don't have the doctors that we've got. They can't go to a hospital. Well, they might be able to go to a hospital in Uganda that is simply concrete floor, concrete walls, and a thatched roof, and that's all. There's nothing. There's not even a Band-Aid there. What's the point? And there's people that have read a few books about how to stitch you up without an anesthetic. They do it. Those people in those countries have got such a desperate situation. They reach out to Jesus and they're healed, just like that. It's really exciting going there. I've seen cancers fall out of bodies. I've seen teeth get fixed and filled. And those are things you can actually see, apart from people going, oh, my pain's gone. A man came into a meeting one night and he'd had a stroke. And I have to say, I would like to be more faith-filled. And I looked at this man and thought, oh, Jesus, please. So he came in. You've probably experienced this too, Pastor Harley. And they walked him in and he had one side that didn't work at all. His stroke was one side. And his family brought him up to me and stood him in front of me and said, Jesus will heal him. I totally agreed because that's what the Word of God says. But the me in me was pretty wobbly, I have to say. Like, Jesus, you've got to heal this man tonight. You've got to heal him. So with all the faith I could gather and the power of Jesus' name, we prayed for him. And he started to move. And he started to move his leg and started to move his arm. He had also lost his speech. And I said to him, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. And he said, Jesus. The whole place erupted. And God healed that man. You talk about dancing and leaping and praising God. Well, he was, and so was everybody else. That's the power of our God. He couldn't have been healed by any medicine of any sort. The power of God is the healer. Nothing is too hard for my God. Nothing is too hard for my God. Nothing's too hard. I have a friend at home in New Zealand. He was diagnosed with a very serious, very invasive form of cancer, all in the middle part of him here. Terrible shock to him and his wife, because he's a fit, middle-aged man. And so he went to the doctor and he was sent very quickly for tests, and very quickly he went to a surgeon and went to the hospital and had a major operation. They almost kind of cut him in half, took his organs out, soaked them in chemotherapy solution, and put him back together again and said, go and have a nice life. It won't be long. Have a good life. Well, he went home and he believed, and we prayed for him, and our church prayed for him, and everyone that knew him prayed for him. His report a few months after that was no cancer, nothing, totally healed. Now, God did use doctors to take out the worst of it, but Jesus removed every other bit that was in there. Nothing is too hard for my God. I'm going to tell you another testimony. I have a young friend called Hayden, and he won't mind. He'll probably watch this. He wants to travel the world and share his testimony. He'd been brought up in a Christian family, and he was walking away doing his own thing, and he loved the rodeo. Do you know rodeos? You don't? Rodeo? Rodeo. Sorry, wrong word. Wrong. Rodeo. And so the very last ride of the day, they wanted somebody to ride this really vicious bull. And he, being, you know, young and strong and fearless, he said, I will. So he got on the bull and they let it out of the pen. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know rodeos? Yeah, they let it out of the pen, and about the third jump, his head went down, the bull's head went up and crushed his skull. So he fell off that bull. I don't know if he was almost dead on the ground, but very quickly after, they got a helicopter in there, took him to the hospital, called his family and said, arrange his funeral. Well, that young man, we went to prayer. Man, did we pray for him. In Jesus' name, you'll be healed. In Jesus' name, you'll be whole. And slowly but slowly, he improved, and he passed all his markers medically and came out of ICU, and slowly, slowly he improved. Today, that young man is preaching the gospel. He's an amazing evangelist. He actually wants to come to America and go around the cowboy churches and preach, and I'm trying to make connections for him. So if any of you know a pastor in a cowboy church, let me know. I've got video of him. I've got photos. He plays the mouth organ like the cowboys do, you know. Harmonica, excuse me. Oh, at least I didn't say trombone. And God is starting to use him in my country, and God's going to launch him onto an international platform. He's a walking miracle simply because of the power of the name of Jesus. There's nothing too hard for our God. There's nothing too hard for our God. I love testimonies of healing. Woohoo. Awesome. So anyway, here we have the lady. And she'd been bleeding for 12 years and no one could heal her. Imagine she needed physical healing. Imagine all the other healing she needed. She needed healing of her emotions. She needed healing of her identity. For 12 years, her identity was invalid. For 12 years, her emotions were terribly, terribly hurt because she wasn't allowed to go anywhere or do anything. And every person she went to help her couldn't help her. This lady needed healing in every single part of her life, not just her body. Do you get that? I get that. So she came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. She shouldn't have touched him. Because the law was, if you're bleeding and you touch someone, you're unclean and you make them unclean. She had no regard for the protocol of the day. She was desperate. She was faith-filled. She knew. Desperation has a voice. And that voice, if we allow it to, can lead to faith. Let it happen. You may or may not be needing this today, but if you do in the future, remember that. Desperation, the voice of desperation can lead you to faith. And she demonstrated that here as she touched his garment. Who touched me? And everyone's going, not me, not me, not me, not me. And I was thinking when I was reading this afternoon, bit like the Queen's funeral. If somebody had jumped up and touched the coffin, it would have been quite a hoo-ha, wouldn't there? Some of you might have seen that on television. And people would have jumped on you, would have stopped you and said, who are you? Why did you do that? Who are you? And don't do it. Probably arrest you and biff you in jail. But she had no regard. so was her faith, so was her belief that this man, Jesus, can heal me. That she pushed through. She pushed through the law of the day. She pushed through protocol. She would have pushed through men with their elbows out trying to stop her get past. Have you ever been in a crowd? I know what it is. Have you ever been lining up at the airport and you're in group three to get on a plane and everyone's lining up and they call group one because they're the first class people. And then group two, they're the ones with the kids and you don't want to be sitting anywhere near the little children on a plane. Oops, get me started. And then group three comes and that's the biggest group and everyone goes shh. And a little lady comes along with her little trolley bag and starts to go like this. Nobody has any regard for her at all. They're getting their elbows out. They're not going to let her get on the plane, one or two people in front of them. This lady would have experienced that 1,000 times worse than that. You're not getting near the master. We want to be near him. Who's experienced that getting on a plane? Oh, me too. Anyway, Jesus knew someone had touched him, and Peter said, Master, all the people are around you. Everyone's touching you. Wake up and smell the coffee. And Jesus said, someone did touch me. I know because the power has gone out from me. And you know what? He knew it was her because he's God. He knows everything. But he needed to demonstrate that when he is touched and when people touch him, that it's a power that goes. It's a power of God that goes. He could have turned around and said, oh, hello, darling. Yes, be healed. Get up. But he let this drama happen because he needed to for people to know that it wasn't a nothing. It is the power of God in the name of Jesus that heals you and heals me as we reach out and touch him. I'm glad my computer shut off because I didn't think of that before. Thanks for the revelation, Holy Ghost. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. She had been found out. I pray that anyone that is listening to this and those of us that are here, you're found out. That you touch Jesus and he looks around and says, aha, it's you. I want that to happen to you. I want that to happen. Those eyes that looked at her would not have had any condemnation. They would not have had any fire. They would have been full of compassion. They would have been full of love. They would have been full of understanding and care. And she said, I did it. I did it. In that moment, she didn't know what was going to happen to her. She did not know whether she'd be stoned, and that would have been legitimate. She did not know whether she would have been dragged out of that crowd and thrown back into her village. But she said, I touched you. And Jesus, she told why she had touched him. She would have explained the bleeding and all of that and how she had been instantly healed. So she knew too that the power of God, the name of Jesus, the touch of his garment had healed her. Don't you long to see that happen? Don't you long to see it happen to you, yourself, your family, to your colleagues, to people in the street that are obviously in pain or needing healing, ones that you come across? I so long that people would be healed every single time. But you know what? We'll never actually see that happen every single time unless we reach out one time and then another time and another time. There's a famous healing evangelist whose name I just cannot remember right at this moment who testifies and says he prayed for people for years and hardly... Sorry? I can't say yes or no. I can't quite remember. It could well be him. But he prayed for people for years and hardly anyone got healed. And then one day it's like the floodgates opened and it started to happen all the time. But would the floodgates have opened if he never started? I reckon maybe, maybe not. But you see, you've got to start. No one will ever be healed unless you pray for them, unless you give them the opportunity to reach out and touch the hem of the Master's garment. And I want to challenge us, not that you not only to be here tonight and receive healing for yourself, but to be a healer. Be a healer yourself. You are Jesus' best opportunity to heal this world. You are. Because he's given you all the power and all the authority. He's not going to come back bodily just yet. But you're here bodily with him in you and his power in you to reach out and heal and touch and set free anyone that needs it. Amen. African ladies would be running around the church now going, that's called ululating. Be careful how you say it. And so Jesus looked at her and said, daughter, your faith has healed you. What healed her? Her faith. Her faith healed her. She believed. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And she did, and she was. So when you are prayed for healing, I want to hear those same words for you from heaven. Daughter or son, your faith has healed you. It's actually got nothing to do with the person that prays for you. They only help you activate your faith. We join our faith with yours, and then God moves. Because you see, it's not my responsibility, it's God's. And we see this woman here, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. It's the name of Jesus and your faith joined together that brings that breakthrough and healing. You're stunned. Hallelujah. Let's see Jesus heal us then tonight. Amen. And so it says no more about her. It says no more about her at all. It goes on then to talk about Jairus going to the home. Jesus going to Jairus' home and healing his daughter and raising her up. But the assumption is that woman was healed. She stood up. She joined the community again. Her life continued as it had been 12 years before the bleeding started. And she wasn't only healed in her body. She was healed socially. She was healed emotionally. She would have been healed relationally because she can now mix with people. Jesus doesn't just want to heal our bodies. He wants to heal every single part of us. He wants to heal you and the depth of your being. He wants to heal your body. And he wants us to be people as we know the truth. And the truth sets us free. That we can take that truth to others and be the hands and the mouth and the heart of Jesus to those around about us. Amen. 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 So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that your name is the healer. And Lord, as you said to that woman, your faith has healed you. I pray there will be a great rise of faith in this room and amongst the online media audience who will watch this soon and over time later on from now. Lord, I thank you that faith is such an incredible and essential element in our healing. And I pray, Lord, that faith will arise, and that we will know what it is to see your hand come. And as we approach you, Jesus, and touch you, that just like that woman, we will be made completely whole in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I had a few more words here, and I will just deliver those. Has somebody got diabetes? And it's in your family as well. You have. Let's pray for you. Let's see Jesus just really come and cut across that and break the power of that in your life. Come. If you want to come, you're welcome. Again, you know, it can be a family curse. It can be.
It is.
Yeah. Come along this way, my dear, because there's others as well. So, you have. Hallelujah. So, Jesus, I break the power of diabetes over this woman's life. Diabetes, I speak to you. I speak to your pancreas. I'm just going to put my hand on your tummy, all right? I speak to your pancreas, and I command your pancreas to make the right amount of insulin and release it at the right time in Jesus' name. I break the curse of diabetes over this woman. I break it over her descendants for every generation from now. It will not recur. And I slice her off from the familial spirit that has come to bring it into her life in Jesus' name. Diabetes, you lose your hold on her and let the healing power of Jesus flow into this woman's life and free her from diabetes. And Lord, any deterioration that her body has suffered because of it, I command the healing power of Jesus' name to your kidneys. I command it to your peripheral digits, and I command it into your eyes in Jesus' name, that you wouldn't just have the diabetes healed, but you'd have the effects of it healed now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.